We tonight continue these last chapters of Isaiah are primarily prophecies of blessings upon God's children Israel, especially when we get to the last two chapters. They're about the kingdom. Tonight is, remember last week we saw in chapter 61 where God promised the garments of salvation to His children Israel, and how that we can apply that to our lives, that we receive the garments of salvation at salvation. But here we find out that God also promises salvation to them as a nation, and that it is in the future. Notice verse 1, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken." So I've entitled it, "Thy Salvation Cometh." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to open your word on a Sunday night and walk through this amazing book, and we pray you'd use it in our hearts now to teach us and to grow us, Lord, to inspire us, to be excited about what's in the future for your people and for us. And Lord, I pray for your perfect will in every heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we know who this is written to. It's very clear. Verse 1, Zion's sake. He goes on to say Jerusalem's sake, that God has plans for Israel that have not yet been fulfilled. And we've seen this over and over in the Old Testament, that God is not done with his chosen people, Israel. And this city, specifically Jerusalem, or the city of Zion, will one day be a great city again for God. Go to chapter 1, please, verse 26 of Isaiah. And we'll see some of these beautiful promises about Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 26. The Bible says, "And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city." All of these names that one day Jerusalem will have, it's pretty amazing. But the city of righteousness and the city, or the faithful city. And then go to chapter 61 again, where we were last week. Notice it says, verse 11, "For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations." Now we saw down in verse 7 of 62, he says, "And give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise." So God chose this city to be the city, his city, and he's not finished with it. You know, when you look at it today, it's one of the most violent cities on earth, literally. Violence every day. And it's not even owned by Israel. at this point. A big portion of it's owned by non-Jews. But that will all change when the kingdom comes. When the king comes to set up his kingdom, it will be ruled from Jerusalem, as we see. And so back to our passage, verse 2, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. So remember, this will be a worldwide kingdom. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of David during the millennial kingdom. It says, all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name. And here he gives some of those names. Notice in verse 4, Hephzibah and Beulah. We sing a hymn, Beulah Land. What does Beulah mean? Well, he kind of defines it here. It means to be married. To be married. Now, the church, obviously, we can relate to that because we are the bride of Jesus Christ, and that marriage is coming in Revelation chapter 19, where the church will be married to Jesus Christ. Right now, we're just the bride, and he's the bridegroom, but one day we will actually be married at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about God, the Father, marrying his bride, Israel. And sealing that up, if you will. So notice, if you would, Jeremiah chapter 3, and I want to show you again that when you think about this word Beulah, think about what it really means. It's talking about God married to his people, Israel. God the Father, his bride is Israel. Notice Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So God says, I'm married unto you. Now I go to Hosea chapter 2, and we'll see it again, that God is to be eternally married, God the Father, to his children, the children of Israel. And that's what the word Beulah means, to be married. go to Hosea 2, verse 19. Now, if you know a little bit about the book of Hosea, Hosea was a very unique prophet in that God told him to go and marry a prostitute, and then she left him and went back to her old ways, and God told him to go find her and bring her back home. And all of that was to picture God and his people. But Hosea had to literally go through all of that. But notice chapter 2, verse 19, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. So one of the names of Israel, other than all these other names that we've seen, the city of righteousness, the faithful city, will be Beulah. And God tells us there in verse 4 of our passage, Isaiah 62, verse 4, he says, Hephzibah means the Lord delighteth in thee, and Beulah means to be married. So this word Hephzibah means that God delights in her. That might not necessarily be true at this particular moment. They are being judged, but God has never forsaken his bride and has never divorced his bride and will one day again delight in her, and her name will be called Hephzibah. Look, if you would, at Isaiah 54, and he explains this temporary situation and explains that it's only temporary. Even though to us it seems like so long, 3,000 years, I would say that's a long time. Isaiah 54:7, for a small moment. So this 3,000 years in God's program is a small moment. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Say, how can you call 3,000 years a small moment? Well, the Bible says to God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. Time doesn't mean anything to God. And in his calendar, it's but a moment for this time that he has forsaken them and is judging them and punishing them, but it will end. And there will be a day when he will again delight in her, Hephzibah, and he will again be married unto her, Beulah. So maybe that helps you understand those words a bit better. I know in the States there was a, still is, I think, a house for young wayward young ladies called Hephzibah House. And that's where they get the name. So God said he would betroth unto them forever, that he is married unto them, that they are his bride. Of course, we are the bride of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We can quickly look at Revelation 19 and just be reminded about the culmination of that relationship in heaven. And it looks like eschatologically this takes place during the tribulation period. So while Israel's being judged here on earth with God's wrath, the church will be in heaven, go through the judgment seat, receive their rewards, and then right before we return back to the earth with Jesus, here in Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Who's this? This is us. Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So this is a totally different marriage. This is a marriage of the Lamb to his bride, the church. God here in Israel is talking about the marriage to his bride, God the Father, to Israel. So back to our passage, Isaiah 62. God promises that one day, notice verse 6, I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. There will come a day when Jerusalem will be the city of the earth. God will protect it. Verse 7, and give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise. A praise. The whole world will consider Jerusalem a praise. Look at Zephaniah, please, and we'll see this again in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 20, where God reminds us that Jerusalem will be, again, a praise. They enjoyed this glory for just a short time under David and Solomon. But, you know, speaking as far as a calendar goes, it was very short. You know, less than 100 years. Israel enjoyed Jerusalem being a great city and having all this glory and so forth. It didn't last very long, but it will be returned, as we see here. Zephaniah, look at chapter 3, verse 20, says, at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Notice who they will be a praise among. All people of the earth. Everyone will consider Jerusalem a praise. So back to our passage, Isaiah 62, verse 9. They that have gathered it shall eat it, praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink in the courts of my holiness. In the kingdom, the temple will be restored. In Jerusalem. We see that in many different passages. And this will be the headquarters of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord, as he sits on the seat of David. Look at Micah chapter 4, and we'll see a bit more about this. But there's many, many scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about the temple of the Lord being in Jerusalem during the kingdom and being the seat of all power. Notice Micah 4, verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So the law and the word of the Lord will come from Jerusalem, and people will literally come up, the nations will all come to Jerusalem at least once a year to worship the Lord and to receive instruction from the Lord. And this will all take place during the kingdom while we'll be there with Jesus Christ. And then again in verse 11, this great promise of our passage, thy salvation cometh. It's still in the future when Israel as a nation will be restored, like we saw last week in the book of Hebrews. Israel will be restored as a nation that loves God, that accepts Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And God will give them a new heart, like we saw last week in the book of Hebrews. And as a nation, their salvation is yet to come. Let's look at a couple of scriptures reminding us of this. Isaiah 46 and verse 13 is one that we'll look at. Isaiah 46:13, talking about salvation, returning to Israel as a nation. Isaiah 46:13, I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Isn't that beautiful? Look at Isaiah 56, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment, do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness shall be revealed. Now, this salvation comes through the one that they rejected, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was prophesied of in Zechariah chapter 9. Let's turn over there. For us, an exciting passage. For Israel, a sad passage. Because they missed the mark, if you will. They had opportunity to meet their Messiah, to accept their Messiah, to receive Jesus as the one, and they rejected Him. But God prophesied that it would happen. Notice Zechariah 9:9. The Bible says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. This was fulfilled when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt. And the people spread the branches on the road and they said, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. A couple days after that, they said, crucify him. We have no other king but Caesar. So they would have just accepted Christ, but they didn't. But they will. This is talking about Jesus, our Savior, who will bring salvation. He's already brought it to us, hallelujah. But one day he will bring it to Jerusalem. And notice the final verse of our passage, Isaiah 62, verse 12. And they shall call them, that's Israel. Who? The holy people. Wow. The redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. You know, when you read these promises, these people that teach covenant theology, they just, what do you do with verses like this? And by covenant theology, I mean people who teach that the church has supplanted Israel, that all the promises made to the Jews, We now basically God's done with the Jews and they all apply to the church. What do you do with all these scriptures that mention Zion and Jerusalem and Israel and God's people Israel and a city not forsaken? It's Jerusalem. It's Jewish. And one day it'll all be restored to a greater glory than the time under Solomon. And you know what's exciting is we get to be a part. Hallelujah. Because if you go to John 10, we'll see that Jesus Christ has already come and brought salvation to us. John chapter 10, we could look at scriptures all night on this, of course. It's just one example. Where Jesus has already come and brought salvation to the Gentiles. Notice verse 27 of John 10, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Isn't that beautiful? But look at the next verse. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So there you've got it all in one little package. Jesus standing up and saying, I'm here to bring you in life. I and my Father are one. You are safe and secure in my hand. You're safe and secure in my Father's hand if you'll but trust me as the Savior. I came to bring you the salvation that was promised. Then took they up stones to stone him. And this happened over and over and over again. One day it will be different. Until that day, we can only but praise God that we found salvation because there are many who haven't. You know, the last statistic that I read said that maybe 5% of the earth is saved. That would be a very liberal estimate in the sense of it's probably not that many. But that means 95% aren't. Imagine that. So, praise God, we found Christ. And one day, we will be there when Israel gets their glory back. Because we found Christ. Thy salvation cometh through Jesus. Let's pray.